you'd like to read along with me, we'll be reading from 2 Kings, the second chapter, and the first two verses. 2 Kings 2, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel.
If you'll please keep this chapter open, and we'll get back to it in just a moment. 1936, a 17-year-old young man named Bob Feller became a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. And he was so good that he played 18 seasons, minus four seasons when he enlisted in the Navy during World War II. In 1965, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame and is considered to be the greatest right-hand pitcher in baseball history. In his career, he struck out 2,581 batters. But when he was 9 years old, his teacher asked him to write an essay about an oak tree. And he wrote, "An oak tree can be cut down and sawed into boards. You can make baseball bats out of them. You can also make home plates out of the boards. And you can make bleachers out of the boards so people can watch baseball games." Do you think maybe that Bob Feller wanted to play baseball? It's no wonder that he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, because this was a man who was committed to being a great baseball player. How far do you want to go? This morning we are going to look at the life of a man who was committed to being a great prophet for God. And his name was Elisha. And 3 years before, God had selected Elijah to be the great Elijah's replacement. We're not exactly sure what happened to the 3 years. But what we're told now in 2 Kings chapter 2, that Elijah is leaving, that he is about to be taken up in a fiery chariot, and according to 2 Kings 2 and verse 3, everyone knew it. So they began their journey in Gilgal. And from there they went to Bethel and then to Jericho. And then finally to the Jordan River, where Elijah would be caught up to be with God. But as this account unfolds, and as Elijah is leaving Gilgal, he tells Elisha to please stay here. But Elisha refuses. "As the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." At each place that they stop at, this conversation occurs. All the way to the destination. Elijah was willing to go as far as he needed to go to be in the presence of God. But there's one thing that caught my attention while studying these verses. At each of these towns, there's a group of men that the Bible calls sons of the prophets. And it appears, though we're not certain, that maybe Elijah was visiting each one of these places one last time for these men to be able to be in the presence of Elijah. These men evidently were training also to be prophets. But what I find very curious is that none of these men seem to be interested in seeing a fiery chariot. In fact, verse 7 of 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us that 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they were both standing by the Jordan. You see, these men, they wanted to see what was going on, but they don't want to get too close. So what's the deal? Maybe it's something that happens to some of us. When it comes to following God, we don't want to go too far. We don't want to get too close. A man by the name of T.F. Tenney, he wrote, "Jesus fed 5,000, but only 500 followed him after the meal. He had 12 apostles, but only 3 went further into the garden. And only 1 stood with him at the cross." You see, the closer that you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. Some of us are afraid to get too close. It's more as if they're afraid to get close. If they get too close, that God will want more from us, more than we are ready to give. We stand back at a distance because we're afraid. There was this one man who had an opportunity to watch some 6th graders participate in a high jump event at a track meet. And at that age, they were just learning the technique for that event. And there were some that were really good, and there were others that weren't so good. But he watched a young girl, and it had him puzzled. She would run really hard up to the mat, and then she'd run right past the high jump every time. Never once in all of her tries did she ever try to jump. And so he asked the coach what was going on. And the coach says, "Well, it happens all the time." He said, "Until they get over their fear of failure, many won't even try to jump." By contrast, Elisha was not afraid. He was committed to jump as high as he could possibly jump for God. He wasn't afraid of the possibility of failure. And he repeatedly told Elijah, "I'm going with you. I will not leave you. Wherever you go, I will go." Maybe that's why Hebrews 13, verse 6, pounds in my head sometimes. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what a man can do to me." That is the most satisfying way to follow God. Bobby Richardson was a former New York Yankee ball player, and he was asked to pray at a meeting of the National Athletics, Christian Athletics Association. I think I've got the title exactly right. I can't remember exactly the title. But his prayer was this: "Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen." And that's the kind of prayer that we need to be able to pray in all situations. So Elijah was not afraid to follow Elijah, because he knew Elijah would lead him into the presence of God. Part of the reason Elijah did what he did was because he was not satisfied with just getting by. Now, to be very fair, the other prophets were doing God's work. But maybe, just maybe, just like maybe even some of us, we're just satisfied with the way things were, with the way things are. Really don't want to do anything extra. We kind of learned that as kids. You remember when you're growing up and you had your toys and your parents said you need to get the toys off the floor? And you probably would go over and open up the closet door and shove them all in the closet. You obeyed the letter of the law, just not the spirit of the law. No, because I learned from experience, the closet wasn't where they wanted them to go. They wanted them to go where they were supposed to go. Jesus warned us not to be like that with our Christianity. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, he said, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" In other words, don't be satisfied with just getting by in your faith. Strive to do more. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 10, Paul said, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care of how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Hope you notice kind of what Paul's saying. If we can get by on our faith, if that's all we want to do, we can use some second-rate material, hay, straw, wood, whatever it is. But in the judgment, day of judgment, we'll still get in the door. We'll still be saved. But all the stuff that we just got by on will be gone. Burnt up. Worthless. Because we didn't give God our best. You also know that if we do give Him our best, that God will give us a reward. That is what Elisha was shooting for. He wanted a reward. And Elisha was not afraid to ask for it. In verses 9 to 10 of 2 Kings chapter 2, "And when they had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, Elijah said to Elisha, 'What shall I do for you before I am taken from you?' And Elijah said, 'Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me.' And then Elijah said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so.'" What's that all about? A double portion of Elijah's spirit. Deuteronomy 21, verse 17 tells us that for a father to give the right of the firstborn was for him to give a double portion of all that the father has. Elisha was boldly asking to be treated like the firstborn son of Elijah. He was asking for the same spirit that empowered the ministry of Elijah to be given to him as well. That tells me Elisha did not want to be some second-rate follower of God. And he did get exactly what he asked for. He was able to copy exactly what Elijah did to the Jordan. In verses 13 and 15, Elijah took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood on the bank of the Jordan River, and he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets saw this, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." Now, those blessings didn't stop with just the Jordan River. Elijah was to be able to perform about somewhere around 14 miracles. Elijah had 28. But that's not the big deal, because even Elisha would not have been able to do the 14 if he had not boldly sought God's blessings and sought to be God's best. He wouldn't have got those blessings if he didn't desire it with all his heart. This is kind of the mindset that Jesus reminds us of in Matthew 5 and verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." That means that we have decided to want God so involved in our lives that we will do whatever we have to do to attain it. It's kind of like the story of two missionaries who were handing out soup to some residents in a very poor area of town. And the people, they were instructed to bring in containers that would hold about 2 quarts of soup. And as they were dishing out the soup into these containers, there was this little boy that came in with a 3-gallon bucket. He was dirty, wearing ragged clothes, but he had those flashing eyes and a winnowing smile. And the one missionary said to the other, "We would be ashamed to only put 2 quarts into that bucket. We know the boy comes from a very large and a very poor family. We are bound to give him at least 1 gallon. And so they did. The one missionary continued with Psalm 81 and verse 10. "The Heavenly Father says to us and to his children, 'Open your mouth wide and I will fill it.'" We need to be a lot like this little boy, who carried away twice as much of the others because of his large asking. Why are we so afraid to ask God for more? More will to follow him, more strength to follow him, more of ourselves for him. That's the kind of expectation following Christ should create in us. Why are we so content on just getting by? Why are we so content on just getting by in our faith when the whole world will open up for us and our faith becomes obvious? You know, this week we got a swing set for the grandkids. When they would come over, they would have something to play with in the backyard. And before we buy those things, I always read the reviews. I want to see how many people say it's junk or how many people really like it. And I was reading a lot of the reviews, and they were saying, well, this thing took 5 hours to put together. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They must not have been able to read instructions. So Saturday morning, I started at 10 o'clock in the morning around there, 10:30. We picked a site. I started putting things together. 4 o'clock, I quit, still wasn't done. So yesterday I go out to finish up, and the only thing is that we kind of reversed it so the sliding board would be, when we could look out the patio doors, we could see the sliding board. Now, in my infinite wisdom, I put it together like the instructions said, not realizing that I had reversed it. And it took me an hour just to put that sliding board together. I'd take it apart. I had to switch things all around again. You know how frustrating that gets? I added another 40 minutes to what ended up being close to 10 hours of putting a swing set together. See, sometimes I was so content in getting by, getting it done, that I didn't stop to think. We're so content sometimes with just getting by in our service to God that we don't stop to think just how much more effective we could be if we would just ask for a double portion. Just a double portion. There's one last thought before we close. Elijah realized that the only way he'd get that double portion was if God gave it to him. And even Elijah realized it was not his to give. If you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. There were two young boys that were talking about Elijah's ascent in the chariot of fire from their Bible class. And the one boy says, would you be afraid to ride in a chariot? The other boy said, well, depends on who's driving the chariot. Is God driving the chariot? It's all good. We'll be safe. Anywhere he leads, we can safely go. And we need to believe that. So this morning, just how far do you want to go? If you have not obeyed the gospel this morning, where do you want to go? You know, because in the end, we only have two choices. It's that proverbial fork in the road. We're traveling down this lane in life, and we're going to come to that fork. And what we have done and traveled on that lane will determine which side we will take. We'll either be able to be on the side that will lend us into everlasting life or the other side, which will be everlasting death. And for the number of years that we have living in this life, for how many they are, if we're just living a life of pleasure and a life the way we want to live, we can have all the fun that we want to have. We have to remember that all that fun is only 80 years long. That we have an eternity in torment. Is that where we really want to end up? You have the choice this morning to obey the gospel through repentance and confession, through New Testament baptism, having your sins washed away. We want to give you that opportunity this morning. But if you are a child of God and you have been traveling down this road and you are only going this far and you realize that you need to go further, you need to make changes in your life, we want to give you that opportunity. If anybody has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the right, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Working for the Master.